And as we just heard, one of the races where money did not translate into victory was the race for state attorney general, or I should say one of the races where more money did not translate into victory. We spoke to Maura Healey during the campaign. She's back with us now for the first time as the state's newly elected top law enforcement officer and attorney general-elect. Maura Healey, welcome back to the program. Great to have you.
Great to be on. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for coming in. I want to dispense with something really quickly. Every story about you begins with a headline that you're the first openly gay attorney general in the country. How important is that to you, and are we past the point where that's even an issue that we need to bring up?
Well, it's sort of interesting to me, Anthony, because throughout the course of this campaign over the last year, that was something that was rarely talked about, certainly something that I wasn't really asked about. And I took that as a sign of terrific progress, frankly, that didn't become a focal point of discussion or of the campaign. And I think that's great. I think that says something about Massachusetts. I think that says something about the electorate, that was the case. Am I pleased to see that barrier, that glass ceiling is broken? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we have people in office who come from a variety of experiences, and to the extent, you know, I'm now there as a person from the LGBT community who's been successfully elected to higher office. That's great, to the extent it provides some inspiration to a young person out there that you can be who you want to be and do what you want to do. I think that's just great. So I'm proud and pleased of that. That said, Anthony, you know, I'm anxious to get to work as the people's lawyer and to be an advocate for all people here in the state.
Well, you know, speaking of breaking through glass ceilings, you're part of a group of several women candidates who won statewide this year, among them Karen Polito for lieutenant governor, Democrat Deb Goldberg for state treasurer, Democrat Suzanne Bump won re-election as state auditor. I'd love to get your thoughts about that. Is the tide turning for women in statewide offices in Massachusetts? The state hasn't always made it easy for women.
No, it hasn't. And, you know, I think that there was a report out recently out of the private sector, and looking at that side of things, we have a long way to go when it comes to the number of women who sit on boards, who sit as CEOs. We still have a real problem in pay disparities there. And so we've got a lot of work to do. I'm delighted with the support that I received in this race. I think each of these races needs to be evaluated on its own terms, though. You know, it's clear we've got a ways to go.
You know, when Martha Coakley gave her concession speech the day after the election, you were standing right behind her at one point, and she became emotional while talking about all the women running for office, and she pointed to you as an example. I'm wondering how that made you feel in that moment. It was sort of a touching moment.
It was very touching. I mean, this has been it's both personal and professional for me. Martha Coakley has been a mentor, a friend to me, and I have learned a great deal from her. And, you know, certainly I'm grateful to her for all she's done in public service, for all she's done in the Attorney General's office, and for all the opportunities she gave me there. I also really appreciate all that she's done for women, women looking to take a chance and to run for office or seek new opportunities. And she's been a really powerful, resilient force and one of tremendous support to me. So, you know, that was a poignant moment. The day after a hotly contested election, I was really pleased and thrilled to have the support of voters here across the state. I am humbled and so grateful and anxious to get to work. But, you know, in that moment, the day after, it's no secret I campaigned hard for her. I think she'd be a great governor. I'm certainly anxious to work collaboratively with Charlie Baker, the governor-elect. But it was a poignant moment, and I really am grateful to her for the support she's given me over the years.
Well, sticking with that sort of poignant moment, what did you, or what can you share about what she said to you after she lost?
Well, she just wished me all the best, and already we've had discussions about ensuring a smooth transition, but she wished me all the best. No doubt I will have more conversations with her in the weeks to come as I try to prepare myself to do the best job possible day one when I get sworn in January. But, you know, I have had an ability to learn from her, to work alongside her these last several years, to see how she's been tested, to see her resiliency, to see how she ran and led really a nation-leading attorney general's office. So I benefit from those experiences, and as I say, I'm grateful to her for giving me the opportunities in those offices.
Well, if I could, let me move on and ask you about a couple of issues that you're going to be tackling as attorney general. And one of the key issues that you talked about during the campaign was health care costs. And as you know, a Suffolk Superior Court judge is now reviewing an agreement between Attorney General Martha Coakley and Partners Healthcare over Partners' proposal to expand and acquire Three Hospital. A lot of concern about whether or not this deal allows Partners to become too big to drive healthcare costs up. You said when you were running there were aspects of the agreement about which you were skeptical. Which aspects?
Well, I think many have looked at this issue, talked about this issue. There's been a lot of discussion. There's been a lot of public comment, even prior to the filing of the proposed settlement agreement with the court. And I think that, there are concerns about how the dynamics of the market are going to change in the next few years and whether or not a proposed resolution will adequately address the strong need we have to contain and lower health care costs. You know, as it stands right now, Anthony, this is a matter before the court. It's a case. It's before the court. The judge has briefs. The judge has the proposed agreement. She's got the law to look at and examine, and she's going to have to make a decision. What I have said publicly at this time is that I'm also mindful that I am now the Attorney General-elect. The Attorney General's office and Attorney General Coakley have this case, and we are in a transition period. So as is the situation with any pending case or investigation with the Attorney General's office, it would be inappropriate for me to comment on it at this time.
Well, I understand that and respect that, but I'm going to just ask one more question about it, because on Monday, Judge Janet Sanders sort of asked whether she should hold off on a ruling until you take office. What do you think? Or does that fall under, you really don't want to talk about that?
Well, look, again, this is a case before the court, and the court is looking at and should be looking at the papers and the briefs and the law and the facts and making a determination. I know that she made those comments, but again, it would be inappropriate for me to comment or to weigh in. The matter really is before the court, and she has the proper parties before it, the partners on the one side and the Attorney General's office on the other side representing the public interest. So, you know, I'm waiting to see what happens. I continue to be briefed on matters. And I'll make sure that when I take office in January, the one thing I'm sure of is that I will be prepared to act in a way that is in the interest of the public here in the state. And that's what I've been elected to do.
Sure. Well, another big issue, of course, that you'll have to tackle are the new slot parlors and casinos in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Voters rejected a ballot initiative last week, which would have repealed the gaming law. You wanted to see that casino law repealed. I mean, does that put you at all in a tough spot in terms of enforcing the law?
No, not at all. I think that it puts me in a good spot because, you know, I think that this is an industry that will need a healthy dose of policing. We've got consumers to protect. We've got public safety issues. We've got potential issues around addiction. We've got issues even with respect to how these things get built out. So, you know, I think that I bring the healthy skepticism to this that'll benefit the public. And again, you know, my job as people's lawyer and people's advocate is to make sure that the public is protected here. So, well, I publicly supported repeal of the law. My job is to make sure that the law is enforced and implemented appropriately and that these casino operators and the gaming interests are held accountable, that the public interest is protected, and that casinos are held to the commitments they've made to folks here in the state.
We've got less than a minute left, but I just want to ask you, as you look forward to assuming office in January, what's on top of your list of priorities?
Yeah, well, look, it hasn't really changed from much of what I talked about during the course of the campaign. We've got a real issue right now with heroin and prescription drug abuse. Mm-hmm. I am anxious to use all the power power and authority of the AG's office to work collaboratively with others on getting more treatment, access to services.
We heard Charlie
and the
Baker
like.
Talking about that actually earlier this week. That must have encouraged you.
It did, because you know this is an issue that's affected so many families and communities, and to be successful, we need to partner. We need to come together, and so I look forward to working collaboratively with Governor-elect Baker and others on this issue. I also want to work to reduce gun violence. There were shootings in Boston again this week, and this continues to be a problem. Getting illegal guns off the street, taking hold of the care and safety of children in particular and young people. One thing I've talked about is establishing a child and youth protection division in the office of the Attorney General. And so those are some of the things that I'm really anxious to roll up my sleeves and get to work on.
Well, we'll look forward to talking to you about all those things and more in the coming months. Maura Healey will become the state's Attorney General in January. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, schools across Massachusetts are introducing tablets to the classroom. But how much do they actually help kids learn? I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.